Shabbat Shalom. First of all, praise God. I'm so happy and privileged to deliver the message which I pray might impact us, because we all need refreshment. We all need something fresh. We need the new understanding and approach to living, exactly like the title of my message today, Living in the Book of Acts. So before I start, I would like to express gratitude to Rabbi Kel, who have allowed me to do this. So to Eli, who did the wonderful Torah service. I remember being with Eli from like 20 years ago. He was here. Yeah. And he actually brought me to Banff as I came to Canada. He went to Banff and he had the Truckers radio in his car. And so we were listening to Truckers, all 18-wheelers as they were going. So again, we have the Truckers on the move. And Ellie's here. I don't think he has the radio anymore, no? You do? Okay. Well, this is excellent, of course. So let's pray first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We come to you this morning, Lord. We don't want to speak the words from our own understanding. We ask humbly, Lord, that your Spirit would fill us, Lord. Would fill my words, would fill our hearts, so that we would be attuned to the Holy Spirit move. Indeed, Lord, we have nothing else to do on this earth other than to follow your breathings, the movements of your Spirit, the emotions that you are feeling, Lord. We want to feel them as well. We want to be on the same radio wave, we want to be tuned in to your station, Lord. We want to be with you in glorious now, in glorious presence here of your kingdom. Here as it is in heaven. Lord, the desire of our hearts is not more of the same. The desire of our hearts, Lord, is the movement that the Spirit creates. The creation coming from the Heavenly Father for us to respond to. We are made to worship you, Lord. We are created to respond. And so may today and any other day ahead of us will be the manifestation, will be the progression toward holy fellowship, Lord, and transformation, your plan and in your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. May Ruach HaKodesh move today. We ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen. So to give you a little bit of perspective how this whole thing developed, the message, I'm going through reading the Bible, New Testament, as opposed to Old Testament, because we hear a lot of Old Testament here. We have Torah portions. We have beautiful Torah services. And our focus here, obviously, in reviving the Old Testament and bringing it in understanding of Yeshua, New Testament. But I felt hunger to go to the person of Yeshua, what he was doing here, to his life. And so I was reading through the Gospels, and for some reason we stopped reading on Luke, and Luke is only half of the book, as you know. He continues in the book of Acts. They pretty much together. As I was reading through the book of Acts, I was struck by the epicness of what was going on here. There, we had Yeshua experiencing the resurrection, of course. Then we have ascension of the Lord. And then right after that started some really epic things going on. Even with Yeshua himself is not there anymore. But the disciples entered some really epic times. How epic? What is epicness? What does epic mean? What is this huge turbulence, the shaking? Why does it happen? And why does that happen when empires and powers of the world are at the most strong presence? The world is strong, but then the spirit is strong. We have two forces acting on systems that are present. So today I'm going to focus on this opposition of two things, two powers which are at play. We have there on the screen epic transformation. First, obedience, and then power. So, as I was going through my life, I realized that, you know what, I have witnessed a lot of turbulence in political powers, in the powers of empires, which go up and down, as well as during the week, as we all have encountered this incredibly shaking announcement about Brian Smith passing on. I think this microphone cuts off, so I might just use this one instead. So pretty much we have something happening, going from one place to another place, the passing. The passing from what to what? What is this? The huge turbulence, the change. Now, it struck me as well that in the book of Acts, they lived, the disciples, the first disciples, lived in the crumbling times, in the last days of the empire, Roman Empire. And what we are witnessing today is mind-boggling on very many levels, because we understand that we live under very strong political powers which pretty much want to have their way. I wouldn't call it empire, but it is pretty close to the political dictate. Now, as we have progressed in our life here, we are witnessing the crisis and separation. The struggle, the fight is real. I would also like to remind you that when Yeshua was crucified and when he was resurrected, the Roman Empire still was at the height of the power. So it's not like it was going to crumble right away. You remember about 300 years have passed before the Roman Empire actually subsided. As well as I have lived myself through the crumbling of the Russian Communist Empire. And as well, at the time of the most movement of the Spirit,
The powers of oppression were the strongest. I remembered when communism came down, but the hardships have increased. And this caused people to evaluate, to look on their lives, and to evaluate what do they live for, whom do they live for, and which power do they live that by? Which power do they use to go from day to day? As you can see at the bottom of the screen, I'm going to be changing screens, but there's going to be always one question. Which power will you live by? It has become truly crucial for us to plug ourselves into the power which does not fail. We see the opposition, the crumbling of empires as the time of turbulence. In Greek, the word was the ship on the sea which goes up and down. That is the turbulence, the shaking that experiencing on the sea. And in Hebrew understanding as well, it actually means the birth pangs. So this incredible epic confrontation is the birth pangs. Now, what is getting birthed? What is happening there? I look deeper into the Hebrew, as you know the case, I love to do it, to understand what does that word mean, the birth pangs, the birth pains, which come before the new life comes. Well, in Hebrew it's interesting that root has a het lamed hey, holo, which pretty much means the conflict between the law, grace, the death, life. This lamed in the middle is that struggle, the fight, the expressiveness of it all. Very intense. But on one side you have the law, on the other side you have grace. In the whole understanding of the Jewish tradition, in the whole religion, we always have two columns. We have two candles of Shabbat. We have two staples, two concepts. It seems like the Jewish understanding kind of stuck on the interplay between these two concepts of the law and the mercy. Of the light, dark, holy, unholy. That seems to be the separation that Jewish people are very much attuned to. You know how they separate kosher and unkosher, holy and unholy. That also speaks today. We have Torah portion, Mishpatim, judgments. So these are the judgments that the Lord is pronouncing to separate holy, unholy, how we should behave, how we should not behave, the law. And the law is glorious. The law is glorified. You know that. However, if you get stuck on that level of the equal confrontation between het and hey, law and grace, left column, right column, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be stuck in that warfare, in this conflict level. I want you to think more deeply today. See, the whole point of me speaking is actually to bring you something fresh view on what you have been studying continuously, and you've been hearing a lot from the Bible, from the Old Testament. But go deeper. Try to understand the concepts behind it. And also, most importantly, put yourself in the place of the people who lived it out. Why? Because none of that, what we're doing here, is just letter. It's not, you know, the dead tradition. No. Because if it would be, I would be bored out of my mind. I wouldn't come again here. Truly. It's boring. To repeat tradition, yes, it's important to have tradition. But there has to be life in it. It has to change from day to day. Number one, it has to change for you personally. You have to hear. Why? Because it is driven by the personality of God who wants to impact your life for the better every day. None of the words that are spoken, just words, they're truly arranged for you in the beautiful masterpiece that the Lord has for you for every day. If you just listen, if you would just attune yourself and see the light which powers that. And so, as you can see, we have the crumbling of empires, which just go, the wheels are turning, the gears of empires are turning, and they get stuck. There is no anointing there. You know, the gears get entirely stuck. It starts crumbling. As opposed to what? What is happening then? We cannot just continuously be on that level of the good versus bad, the war between the good and evil. It can continue for thousands of years. I have one question. Who wins?
Adonai.
Who wins?
Adonai.
Adonai wins.
Amen.
What does that crumbling of empires mean, really, in this case, then? Should it really occupy our minds as much as it occupies now? I lived through the crumbling of the communists, and I'm still alive here today. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. You know, the believers, early believers, they lived through the horrible cataclysms. Some of them perished as well, of course, but the fact is, for every person, a perfect will of God is going to be revealed and manifested no matter what. No matter what. So my point of the message today, even if I will not cover everything because of the time constraints, but what you should understand, what you should take out of my message, is that it's not just two columns, two equal powers in fight. There is one power above. It's the triangle. There is one power above who is in control of everything. Adonai, the Lord, and it is Yeshua. Now, the whole book of Acts is that incredible conflict of understanding. The human minds were not really understanding at this point in history that the Lord is really going to override everything that they can come up with. What is happening in the book of Acts is intense revelation of the unconditional and the power which cannot be denied, undeniable power of the Lord over the understanding of the priests, those who are, you know, mired in tradition. First of all, the whole testimony of Yeshua before Pilate and before the high priest was mind-boggling. He was telling them that no matter what you have been accustomed to, here is something what the Lord is doing. And in the end, the Lord is going to win. Even in the face of death. the empires in the world and the enemy, they can throw at us death. They can throw a lot of darkness. But the resurrection of Yeshua overcame all this cloud of doubt and fears entirely, brought it back into the closet where it belongs. And instead of that, we have the rolled out stone. We have Yeshua appearing to everybody. We have disciples. Now, after he got resurrected, I want you to remember what happened there. What happened is that he appeared before a lot of people for some time, and then he got taken up to the clouds. So he left them again. Now, as I was reading it, to me it was a sort of a question there. If I would be in that place, looking at him leaving us again, like he just came back, wouldn't it be awesome if he could stay? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And now he leaves again? And so it says there in Luke chapter 24, verses 52-53, you hear the reaction of people as they look at him going up. Are they grieving? Are they, you know, sad, the farewell, he's going away? What does it say there? It says there that they rejoiced, and with the joy in their hearts, they went back to stay in the temple. What a mind-boggling thing's going on here. Like, really? Rejoiced? Why did they rejoice? And they stayed in the temple. So here is another two concepts here at play. Really powerful concepts. One is that the world, the darkness, really want you always to move around, to do something, to have some efforts which can be fruitful or not fruitful. But the Spirit first wants to come into you. The Spirit wants to dwell inside of you. The Spirit wants to be with you, love you, and he wants you to stay with him. So at this point, when Yeshua was going up into the clouds, they realized something, that he is actually inside of them. The Spirit is here. So they took it and they went to the temple and they wanted to stay in that presence. The Shekinah, the Shabbat. Now, then they took this precious gift, like a beautiful jewel, and they stored it in their hearts, like the pearl of the great price, indeed. And then they wanted to bring it to others. We have Peter, who immediately started preaching very powerfully about that new power, that new life that God born. But Peter only caused division there because the priests couldn't get out of the cage of the understanding, of the previous understanding. Mind you, that cage also could be understood as well. Like, if you put yourself in the place of high priests, right? This is what I want you to do. I would like you, every time you read something, really look at it from the fresh perspective of you being there. Like, let's say that it's been you there. Let's say it happens today, for example, right? Somebody comes to you, and your whole point as a priest is to maintain that the Lord is one, Adonai Ehad, right? We sing Shema, the Lord is one. And then somebody comes to you, yes, he's doing the wonders, but he's telling you that he's God. There is a lot to process here, a lot. Sometimes we just don't need to speak a lot. We just have to kind of dwell on one phrase and truly understand it. How would you react if somebody would come to you and say that I am the head of this movement, I'm God, I'm going to do things? Well, you're going to say no. We only worship the Lord. Now, I've been praying for the Jewish people, to Jewish people, to come to understanding of the idea of incarnation of God in Yeshua in human life. I'm going to say right now something that you should probably remember. That is the biggest obstacle. The biggest obstacle for the Jewish people to come into, even come into Beshkina, to come into any Christianity at all, is not even who Yeshua is. It's not that concept. The idea itself that God can become man or man can become God, all this incarnation business is entirely alien to what they believe in Shema and in their teachings. How they've been told that it is alien. But I'm going to tell you today that this idea of incarnation, of Torah coming with all of its godliness and inhabiting our world, inhabiting our body truly, and our character, personality to stay with us. This idea is embedded in, from the very start, in the Jewish tradition. In the Old Testament. For example, the idea of Shekinah coming and staying. This is the only God, really, who wanted to stay with his people, no matter how miserable they are, and antagonistic, and weird. The Lord still wanted to come down, and he wanted to build a house and to stay with them. He wanted to dwell with them. Now, the idea of incarnation in a man was so alien to the high priests that they stoned everybody who was telling them that I see Yeshua at the right hand of God in his human form, you know, standing up there in the clouds. That blew their mind, like, no, you can't. You cannot put the human form on anything. I'm going to ask you this. Why? Why can't you? Why can't you? Why the Lord is not able to put himself in the human form? What, are you denying him his almightiness power? He can really be in any shape if he wants to. So truly, when you say that, for example, you are already limiting God. So you have to understand that, yes, priests were jealous to protect the idea, and they didn't want any idolatry going on. We can understand that. And yet, they were limited in their mind. And as you can see on the screen, we have conditional and limited human efforts, which the world wants you to do, all these, you know, hamster race, the hamster wheel, just efforts. It's all limited. It's all in the cage. You're still in a cage. Versus Yeshua resurrection And his power, unconditional and unlimited, truly unlimited. So, in this congregation, are we ready to proclaim the power of God without any limitations whatsoever? We see that, yes, he works with the situations and he uses the situations. Some people experience trouble, some people experience death. But we don't know the full plan. The full plan is unlimited. Can we see every single corner into it? Do we have the flashlight that's going to illuminate how it's all going to work out? No. Because of that, why don't we assign to the Lord his sovereignty, his almightiness, his unconditional power, which is truly on top of everything? Now, yes, we can say yes now, but when it comes to us early in the morning, you know, I love to read some stories, you know, fiction, and every fiction which is the good story that I know, a lot of times starts with a person rising up in the morning and having breakfast. Okay? They just wake up, having breakfast, the cereal, the milk, the coffee. So this is how the story starts. Everything normal, everything mundane. Then the weird things start to happen. Some sort of some events, life. Life starts to happen. Okay. Well, this is my personal experience, that before we enter life every day, we should enter the garden with the Lord, where we praise him, where we worship him, where we joyfully acknowledge that whatever he is going to do with us is good. When we humble ourselves, my first screen says here that first comes obedience from the place of humility. We first enter the place of humility. Then we assign to him the almighty power. We say to him, we're not going to limit. We're not going to limit what you want to do. Do you want to change the schedule? Do you want to change the agenda? Be ready for that. Most of the time, from the place of humility starts something grand. Aren't you really desiring something glamorous and grand happen? Think about it. We've been going through the grudge, through these things which keep going and going, and the book of Acts, something grand comes in and sweeps a lot of things away. Sweeps out of it. It's the Holy Spirit power moving as the wind, overturning a lot of our constructions away. Now, when does that particular power started to happen in the book of Acts? As I was progressing reading it, I was curious at what time it started getting really epic. Well, we have preaching of Peter, where a lot of people got saved, but the priests were really upset about that. Then we have Stephen. We have the testimony of Stephen in the chapter 7. So basically, just quickly give you a recap what was going on. The priests were really not happy that there is the Yeshua's name as a person, as the human person, how they thought he was being used to do something miraculous, wondrous, to do the miracles. And this, by which power will you live over there, right? This is pretty much the question that they have asked Yeshua, and they asked the early believers, by which power do you do all these miracles things? Who gave you this authority? What authority? What name? Why? So, by which power is crucial here? Because, first of all, coming back to the beginning of my message, if you just have two equal powers, if you have the dark and light constantly locked in the battle, nobody wins. Nobody wins. There is no winner. And this is what the world and the enemy wants to impose upon us, the lie that there is no solution, there is no way out. We're just going to be, there could be no miracles, in other words. No victory. It's just the battle. You know, we should do this, we should do that, and then it's going to get better eventually, hopefully, or not. Well, all of a sudden, we have people on fire by what they just have witnessed. They witnessed the victory over death. Think about it. It doesn't mean that there should be no grieving, for example. Yes. There is grieving. There is grieving. There is the birth pangs. There is the tribulation. There is the pain. But at the end of the birth pangs, there's the birth. So they have witnessed Yeshua coming out with a new life. They have witnessed that. And Stephen was doing these miracles in the congregation because he doesn't care about these locking powers of priests, Roman empires, things of the world. He doesn't care. He just comes in, by the power of Yeshua, he heals. Sometimes, of course, well, you have to do it from the humble place, of course, because the Lord knows when he's going to heal. It's not like the healing movement, right? Like everything is a, if I believe enough, everybody's going to get healed. Well, you know, no, it's not from that attitude we come. We come from the attitude of submission to the one we love. And we know that he who loves us, he has the best plan, and it is his will to heal. His will to heal. Now, so what we have here, we have Stephen being accosted by the priests. By which power you do all this? Now, I want to ask you, have you ever read, like, how long ago did you read this chapter of Acts, of the Stephen's testimony? You know, the seventh chapter. Okay, well, I'm just going to tell you that this chapter is, in a way, boring because all of a sudden, Stephen's being brought before the priests. His answer to the priests is pretty much a recap of the Old Testament. There is nothing much there. Like, if you read it, you would be shocked. Again, put yourself in his place. Put yourself in the book of Acts. How would you behave? For example, you are being blamed that you are blaspheming God, the worst crime ever, you're the idolater, you're out of your mind, you're using some sort of weird name, magic, whatever. And also you are not respecting Moses and the law. Okay. What's worse is that your life depends on it, how you answer. You're not going to really have a lot of chances after that. This is your last chance. You're going to answer these priests with what? When I stopped here and I started considering Stephen's options, right? How would he defend himself? What would he say? He could say, oh no, I had a huge experience. I had the career as a pastor, right? We had revival here, we had revival there. We had like tons of miracles happening. I'm good, you know, I'm on the level. He could say that. He could say that, oh, look, the others are doing the miracles, and the miracles are coming down, like all of that stuff is going on. You're obsolete. The priests are obsolete, you know. Get on the program. He could say that. Suddenly, he launches upon this very long, it's like 56 verses, recap of the Old Testament. What is happening here? What he does, what he's doing, is falling back on the Torah. He goes back to the Torah. Why? Because that's the main lifeblood of Jewish people. This is how the Lord expressed his love to them through Torah. It's a love letter. It's a love letter given from the very start. And the Lord is faithful to continue doing that to them. So he falls back on the what? Nurturing love, abiding, and the fellowship with the Torah, with the Lord, and the promises of God that he keeps repeating to the Jewish people. Now, here's the key. Regardless of the Jewish people's response, in that testimony of his, he says that the Lord made the move, the Jews rejected it or had some other ideas. The Lord repeated the move, Jews had some other ideas. The Lord did something again, they had some other ideas. Well, they kind of went along, you know. Pretty much, he just tells the priests, look, it's not about what you think. He tells the priests, it's not important what your understanding of me or what I'm doing is. He gets focus back on Adonai, on the one who is in control. He just had the victory over death. He is all powerful. Now, he has the plan for Jewish people. Now, motivation for human power, as you can see there on the screen, is usually just either ambition, mindless expansion, or trying to keep everything the same for the fears, you know, resistance to change. These are opposite forces, by the way. You can't do both. You cannot expand and you cannot stay in the safe place. You cannot do both. This is why the human beings are constantly in conflict. They're torn apart. They want to expand their trade, and then they want to keep themselves safe. And so we have the COVID measures. We have everything, right, to keep everything the same under control. This is what the humans want. What Stephen wants for the priests to understand is that their overriding power above all of that it is something new, something different. The blind leading the blind, you all heard this expression, right? Is why we're not blind, but in a way we are, because we're constantly repeating our reactions. Our reactions to the buttons, if somebody presses the buttons, you know, we're going to respond. Well, predictably. Predictably we're going to respond. This is the blind leading the blind, because when something unexpected happens, something out of the ordinary revelation, something that the Lord has in his plan, like incarnation. Think about it. He has put some hints in the Old Testament about it. But then suddenly he decides to come down, inhabit the human body, and do it all in this epic way that the high priests couldn't just grasp. That's beyond them. Now my prayer for the Jewish people today, that they would truly understand the freshness and the epicness, and not limit the Lord. Allow him do his move. Now, we have Apostle Paul, Saul, there, right? Who was literally going door to door and imprisoning people. this is like a police guy. This is like the Nazi, how we call them Nazi nowadays. I mean, those who just do the government blind power and they come and imprison people. And he was like that. He was like that. Why? Because he didn't want any idolatry to happen, just like the high priests didn't want any idolatry to happen. But I can tell you one thing. If somebody comes to you today and says that he's God, yes, you should also say that he's insane. Yes, he's insane. Because that thing happened only once in history. The whole godliness of God incarnated in Yeshua once. It's been one and only event. Not before, not after. So what we're dealing here is unique, one and only revelation, new life came once. I'm going to ask you something. Would anybody be prepared to handle it? Would anybody in their mind would be so accepting to it? Oh, yeah, sure, you know, this, you know, nothing. Yeah, okay. I don't think so. I think everybody would be shaken to the core. Shaken to the core of what was going on. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to be awakened. I want you to be shaken to the core by the things you're reading in the Bible, in the New Testament. Nothing is ordinary there. Nothing. There is really not a place for the boring message in the congregation today or at any time. Think about it. You are living miracles when the Lord has expressed himself and living, trying to live it out from day to day. Like with Paul. Paul was blind. He was doing the Nazi thing. Then boom. The veil has been. He saw new life. The birth pangs, this Nazi problem that he was having, this was the shaking. This was the birth pangs. I want you to shake. I want you, not me, the Lord. The Lord wants you to really get passionate about what you believe in. There is no reason for you to blind yourself. There is no reason for you to be bound when the presence of another power, higher than anything, more powerful than anything, is here for you personally. It was there for Stephen, it was there for Paul. It was there for every single early believers to the point that everything else became inconsequential. Now, when I breathe this Holy Spirit air every single morning at breakfast, it's important to have quiet time with the Lord. You should come back to that realization. That he loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to instill with you the power of him. He doesn't want you to be the hamster who just follows the world. Now, look at the truckers, right? The truckers. You can't stop the truckers, right? You cannot stop them. What are you going to do? Now, these guys are passionate. Now, the truckers are only against some political stuff. But we as believers, these Book of Acts people, they were on a train. They were on the train of God. You can't stop. You cannot stand before the train. This was the holy power that was brought in and working with the Jewish mindset, the average people mindset, the Greek mindset, all of that suddenly was confronted with this. Isn't that an incredible message of hope? When we read the book of Acts, think about it. This is why a lot of Jewish people, for example, they just can't even approach it. Because it requires for you first to get born again. That requires for you first to get a taste of what the Heavenly Father can do for you, instead of you doing things for you. At this point, I don't have the clock here, so I don't know how long I should be doing it. Yeah. But here is my main point today. Oh yeah, and on the previous screen as well, we have the wonderful verse in Titus 3:5, washing of regeneration. So it's pretty much the hot tub. It's the hot tub which you go to every day and you get regenerated in the Holy Spirit. And so you get refreshed. I just wanted to say that because a lot of people don't have access to the hot tubs anymore because of the vax passports, as you know. But you can still have a wonderful washing of regeneration. Amen. Now, that is the last screen here, so I'm coming to the final point. What is it that the Lord really wants in the book of Acts? Does the Lord want people who would just be all excited and following Him doing the miracles? Yes, but that's not, but this is only part of it. This is why we shouldn't be just making it an obsession for the revival. You know, I have been through a lot of wonderful churches, experiences, and conventions, where everybody was focused upon, okay, let's just pray for the revival so that everybody would be miraculously brought to the Lord. Lots of numbers, lots of people. Okay, this is good. This is good. But that's not the point. That's not the point. Anytime that I come up here to the pulpit, praise God for this opportunity, you know. I want to say that it is the power by which we live our everyday life which counts. It is how we live in our normal lives which counts. And from where do we get the power to live it properly and live it with the Lord? See, we are so much in need of love, as you know. Separation, alienation, control, all of that the world puts before us. And this is the fruits. These are the fruits of the worldly system. Versus what? Versus the unity of God with man, the indwelling of the Spirit, the Shabbat, and kingdom now. Think about it. Yes, we are grieving about our brother Brian Smith, who is with the Lord right now. He's over there in the kingdom. But Yeshua's power of overcoming death is revealed in every single life here and every single day here for you. You are not slaves. You are not obliged to do what you think the plan is. We don't know the full plan. See, this is why abiding in the Lord. Stephen, as he was telling that, you know what, no matter what the priests think, I'm just going to tell how I see my Father, my Heavenly Father, who has the plan for me, just like for the Jewish people. So he focused on what the Lord does and he was speaking it out. And his face was shining with glory. His face was reflecting that. How often do we go day by day and we don't see the glory? So the priests, they saw the glory that aggravated them even more. Why? Because they weren't born again. You have to be born again to see the Father's glory. What is getting born again? Good question. A lot of people say it could be it's like another idea that you warm up to. No. Getting born again means that you are removing yourself from the place of power and you're putting Him in that place of power. Why? Because He loved you and you love Him. It's that the birth and this regeneration and this abiding. Again, the world wants you to move around, do the efforts. Abiding in the Lord means you're in the faith rest. Faith rest is obviously doing a lot of things. It's not just lying. Faith rest, however, means that you're abiding in His love. Psalm 51:12 there says, what is it we abiding in? We're abiding in His generous, noble spirit. It says there David was asking the Lord, may your generous, noble spirit come in and sustain me. The noble spirit in Hebrew here is a beautiful, beautiful root, which implies a righteous man staying with the Spirit and the Father. That's all in that root. So when we are abiding in that place, we have everything. We have generous abundance. Now, how that abundance is going to be distributed, how is going to be revealed to the world? Well, it's going to be lived out. This is why we are living it out. We are leaving out what? What we got charged in Fios during the breakfast. We kind of plug ourselves in like, you know, Tesla car. We plug ourselves in, we get the power. We leaving it out? Why? Because we are in the secure place. The book of Acts is unbelievably affirming. It's not just these turbulence, things, empires crumbling, all that stuff, the truckers, the vaccines, all that stuff. Roman Empire. Yes, it's scary, but the book of Acts is unbelievably affirming because we see people who are not moved. They are not moved. We see early believers who's just doing what the Lord wants them to do because He is in charge. He has the power. He has the power. And this is today the message for those who not here, perhaps on the live streaming. If you're hearing this, ask yourself, by which power do you live your daily life? That is going to be revival. That is the personal revival that you're going to be experiencing. It's more powerful than any other convention you can go to. You need to prayerfully quiet down and you need to ask yourself, okay, well, I'm doing a lot of things, but the Lord has done for me. The Lord is loving me. The Lord is in control. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. So give it up. Give it up to Him. Give it up to His power. And listen to how He responds. I'm going to end with a prayer here. And if you are ready, because only those who are ready should do it. Those who are not ready should not do it. But if the Lord brought you to the place today where you're thinking too much is going on, I cannot really handle it, that's a good place to be. This is where all this Book of Acts people have been to. This is where we are now. Because we have the crumbling of empires going on. Do we have control over it? No, we don't. So let us all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today empty. I come to you today not relying upon my own understanding. I come to you today understanding that I am a sinner, that I don't do anything right. And if I do, it might not work out right. I have no control. Lord, I also believe that you have conquered all of that. You have conquered even me. You have conquered myself with love. You have given everything. You have loved me from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from one bracket to the other bracket. Lord, come and fill me with your presence. Come and fill me with your power. I believe that you have been buried and rose on the third day, that you conquered death. Lord, I give myself up to you. Help me to be with you in your church and with your people. Give me joy. I ask that in Yeshua's name. For me personally and for everybody who hears it. Now, if you have repeated that prayer, then you can, and if you have been impacted by it, then keep it in your heart. You can lift up your hand if you want, just to show the Lord. But store it in the precious place and live your life from breakfast to breakfast in His garden and in His abundance. May the Holy Spirit be upon this congregation, and may the Lord's will progress from the humble beginnings, into something larger. We all pray for that in Yeshua's name. Amen.